Okay, well, good morning, everybody. Place to start. Since the beginning of this year and up to the moment, we've been looking at thoughts from the Gospel of John with particular emphasis on the idea of transformation. One of the themes in John's Gospel is that Jesus gives life in all its fullness. John 1 and verse 4 says, "In him was life, and this life was the light of men and women." What a wonderful thing. Next week, David's going to be sharing on different aspects of the life that Jesus gives from John's Gospel. I'm sure. But one aspect of the life that God makes available to us is by way of the relationships God leads us into and enables us to have. So I'm just going to share some thoughts with you about the life we receive through our relationships. Now, how many of us know that relationships can be good or bad? They can totally enhance your life or virtually destroy it. So our relationships are very important. They're transformative. And God wants to lead you into good relationships. And if you're in a relationship, he wants to improve it. He wants to bless you in this important area. I have a close relative. It's not any of my children or my wife. But next tier after that, she grew up at the same time as me. And when she was a young girl, had a new father, stepdad. He never physically abused her, but was very cruel. He hated her. And this person in my family, her life has been typified by a picture of chaos and instability. And right now, she, sadly, is in a secure institution in London in a psychiatric hospital. So the power of relationships can be tremendously beneficial, but also terribly destructive. But take heart, all you who hope in the Lord, for God is for you, not against you, and wants to bless you in all relationships. And I include, of course, our relationship with the Lord, which is the most transformative relationship anyone can ever have. It's great what Pete prayed about, other people coming into that relationship. Now, a guy called Leo Tolstoy, don't know if you've ever heard of him, but in his famous book, Anna Karenina, one of the most quoted lines in literature, apparently, that happy families, he said, and he was quite an observer of human nature, happy families are all alike. But every unhappy family is unhappy in its own way. And as you look around at broken relationships, do you know there's a multiplicity of reasons why they break down? But funnily enough, if you look at any quality relationship, they all have certain characteristics that stand out that are common. Now, do you agree with me? Do you not? Well, check it out on this. Tell me later. Do you agree or not? Anyway, I want to share with you 6 universal signs of a healthy relationship. Number 1, affection. A feeling of fondness or liking of someone. Can't really go anywhere without that, I think, in a relationship. There has to be a meeting of hearts. Fondness. Now, Liz said, don't embarrass me. When I told her what the subject was. Why break a habit of a lifetime, says Dave? Yeah, well, exactly, yeah. But no, I won't. But anyway, I have to say about my wife, I like her. And the thing is, we're different. In fact, she said yesterday, we've got nothing in common, you mean? Nothing in common. The thing is, though, she likes me. I can't believe it. I'm so lucky. And the thing is, I absolutely love her. I like her, you know. She comes in home at night. She's been to Lincoln, comes back in a day. If I'm in before, I'm sat there, I'm thinking, when's, I call her Pog, which is Irish for kiss. And I came up with this nickname, Pog, Didn't know what it meant then. I thought it was Irish for kiss, so that's quite appropriate. Anyway, never mind. And I just love it when she comes through the door and she can be with me. It brightens my life. I'm so grateful. Right. So, a fondness, a liking of for someone. Right, now, as far as the Lord is concerned, Steve was talking about the Lord wanting a really close relationship with us, and that's so true. In fact, a Christian is someone who has an ongoing, living, close relationship with the living God. So the kind of obvious question is, have you got one? Have you got one? Some say, though, well, we sang it. God loves me. I can accept that. It's in the Bible. God so loved the world and all that. But does he like me? Have you ever thought that? Does somebody like me? Some people get hung up on that. Well, here's what the Bible says. When God saw what he'd created, he saw it and he said, it's very good. Psalm 139, he knit me together in my mother's womb. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I bought some misshaped blueberries from Morrison's because they were cheap. And they're a bit odd. And they've got them annoying little stems on. You have to pick them off. But it was cheap, so it made my day. But the thing is, God doesn't have any children he doesn't like or isn't fond of. Now, Irene said this. He likes you just the way you are. So don't go changing. There we go. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And Liz said that was, is it Billy Joel? Oh, there you go. Pop star as well. Anyway, there you go. So don't go changing because he likes you just the way you are. And that will have ministered to someone when Irene said that. And that's for you. And it's being reinforced now. The only thing he doesn't like is our sin. But the thing is, we've all got this tendency to sin. There's temptation every day. Let's be aware of that and not be frightened to say that. But God gives us the power to live outside of the controlling effect of sin in your life. Now, Joe said something, which was, you don't have to put up with the thing that you can't stop yourself doing. You don't have to put up with the thing that you can't stop yourself doing. Okay? Because he gives us the power to live in a new life. He also totally forgives us our sins. How many times should I forgive my brother? Said Jesus, 7 times 70, is that? Which is dynamic equivalent of forever. And God's the same. He keeps on and on and on forgiving you. Look, you make mistakes. Get over it. So do I. But he forgives you and he keeps on forgiving you until you're able to control it. And he'll give you freedom. Affection. And we show affection in our worship. I don't know if you've wondered in this church, these odd people, putting their hands up like that, getting all excited. Why is it? Well, because we are fond of God. Because of what he's done for us. We've got a personal relationship with him. We can't help it. You know, it's a single worship song. My hands just rise up. I'm so full of gratitude to you, Lord. Thank you so much, God. And that's it. So affection. Second thing that any healthy relationship will have is respect. So respect is due regard for the feelings, wishes, or rights of others. Slight embarrassment to Liz again here, but it shows her in a good light, me in a bad light, so I'm always on a winner. And that is, Liz likes, and I know Carol's similar to this, she's a very good person as well. She's very keen on a clean house. Yeah, you're welcome. Liz is similar. Perhaps not quite to your standard. I don't know. But she likes, I've been round recently to Carol's house, and I'm like, yeah, careful, rein it in. Even under the settees and that, right, do you get this? Under settees every week, clean it? perhaps not every week, but well, I just think, if I moved into a house, I've got a settee under there. Next time I leave, move houses when I can clean under that. Flipping heck. Well, it's doing no harm, you know. So anyway, because I have respect, that is due consideration for someone's wishes or feelings, it cheers my darling wife up. Clean house. Cheers her up. And life, to be honest, is miserable without it, so it's better just to do it. What can I do? So, respect. Now, what about God? Well, the Bible says we should be in reverence of him. Fear him. In fact, the Bible says the fear of the Lord leads to life. Then we'll rest content. And we make it our aim to please him. So here's just thought, I mean, is that where we're at today? Because the best thing that I've found in my life that I can do for my own well-being, both domestically and God-wise, I was trying to think of some term, is to make it our aim to please him and to fear him and do what pleases him. So that's respect. Third one. Third aspect of a relationship that is healthy is when you have shared values. Shared values. Now, I've said that Liz and I, she often says to me, and you could get undermined by this, but I don't because I know what she means. Yesterday we went shopping for birthday cards, right? It wasn't for that, but Liz wanted a couple of birthday cards. So, and she shows me the pictures on it. I said, what do you think of that? I don't understand it. And then she explains it to me. Oh, yeah, I just don't find it funny, sorry. And so we're just different. You know, we've got different ideas about things. In sport, she'll go swimming. She hates walking. I love walking. She doesn't like doing things like that. TV programs, she likes all these crime dramas. Can't stand them. I love a good documentary. She hates them. If we're socially around people, I can stand a party for a bit. And then I've got to get out of there. I've got to recover on my own. Liz is the opposite. She's energized by loads of people all the time. So, but the thing is, you can have a lot of differences. It doesn't matter as long as the center table issues, the core values that you consider utterly essential are there. And this is for true of both Liz and me, because our faith is the most important thing in our lives. I wouldn't want to be close to anybody at that level with anybody who didn't share that value, because it would be destructive. Couldn't work. It would just break down. I would make her happy, she'd make unhappy, sorry, she would make me unhappy. There would just be too much tension. And so, so there we are. May I just make a comment at this point? And someone got into trouble over this, and that's fine, but may I just state my opinion? And it's only my opinion, and you can disagree, I don't mind. I do believe God is a matchmaker. And that's my opinion, and I do believe as a free citizen in Britain, I can say that. And so I want to encourage you that I believe God wants to bring you a partner in life, a marriage partner, who meets the core values of your life so that you don't have to compromise. I don't care if you've not met them yet. They will come. Shared values. What about God? Well, do you know what? The most important thing, so far as God is concerned, this is an area he does not compromise on. God doesn't compromise on this. Either I change, he won't. And that is, God is holy. He is righteous, he's honest, he's true. He's as straight as a die, is it? It makes sense. But straight as a whatever it is. But somebody that's dead straight is as straight as that. He is totally straight. And thing is, when I was a lad, my parents weren't Christians or anything like that. When I was growing up, I remember this incident. I was about equivalent of year seven at school. And they were collecting money for something called Sunny Smiles. Now, this is in the early 70s, Sunny Smiles. And I had a job. I thought, I'll join in that. But, and I raised this money and all that. Well, of course, you know, I nicked some of it, didn't I? Nicked some of it. Unfortunately for me, everybody got to know, the headmaster got to know. And I was hauled up in front of his office, and I said, oh, I didn't do it. He said, yes, you did. And but I knew what was coming. In those days, they caned you or gave you the slipper. So what I did, I stuffed. It was in the winter like this. I stuffed my gloves down my backside. I'd went to the headmaster, gave me a bit of a telling off, not as bad as I thought at all. And then just as I was leaving, didn't get the cane out or the slipper, he just whacked me on the backside. And I thought, oh, heck, it'll have felt all those gloves in there. Fortunately, he didn't call me back. And anyway, it's just an aside. But the thing was, I'm just like anybody, you know, a thief, you know, and told lies, you know, when it suits me. That was then. And when I met the Lord, he came into my life, not through fear of punishment, but simply because my core value had changed. I don't want to be like that anymore. Don't want to be like that anymore. And so God is holy, and he wants you and me to live a holy life. That's not to say you're perfect. I'm not perfect. It's not to say that you never make mistakes. I make mistakes. But just to say there is a core value of wanting to be like God, wanting to live straight, live pure, live righteous. See, I go walking. I went, Ashby come Fenby. There's a tree chopped. There's a tree fallen. So I went to ask the person who owned this, can I chop that up and take it home for firewood? Thanks for that firewood, by the way, Carol. Very helpful. Andy over here wants some as well, if ever that comes up, just so you know. But and I chopped it all. It was great. But I noticed there was some in a field next door, which this woman, rich woman, owned as well. And I thought, do you know what? That's good. Perfect, right size. I think that's oak. So I thought, while I'm doing this, I'll just nab a few of them. This was relatively recently, about 6 years ago, 7 years ago, because I thought, she won't mind, it's the same sort of thing. I think they're in little pasta burning a bonfire. I'll just, I wanted. Anyway, couldn't live with it. I'm not going to be punished. Can't live with that. I thought, I've effectively twocked something, taken without consent. I've done that. Trouble me, bug me, but I had to go. But I went to the door, big mansion, knocked on the door, son answered the door. Says, your mum in? No. I need to contact her. Left me a number. So I ring her up. And I said, look, thank you so much for that wood. I cut it all down. But in your field, right next door, there were these logs and stuff like that. Do you want them back? Because I hadn't touched them. Do you want them back? I'll bring them you. And she said, oh, no, that's fine. Don't want them. The thing is, you can't take liberties. The thing is, well, I can't anyway. I just can't do it. And that's holiness. Yeah. It's not that you make a mistake. It's that you can't live with yourself, you know. You can't, you're not free to do that. Shared values. Next one, honesty. Honesty. Dishonesty is the deadly, I'm quoting someone, and I agree with it. Dishonesty is the deadly poison of any relationship. Honesty and openness, this is me putting this together, honesty and openness are a gateway to a great relationship. But dishonesty, the most destructive. I don't think there's any problem a team in an honest relationship can't handle in life if there's a core value of honesty. Nothing. Nothing you can't overcome. I love the honesty of a vicar in Coventry last weekend. Church of England church that our Sam and Caris go to. And his wife was talking, and she opened up by, well, no, that's something different, but part of what she said, she opened up and said a few years ago, and this was as they were Christians, and he was, I don't know if he was a vicar then or not, but aspiring to be one, you know, and he confessed to his wife that he had an addiction with pornography. And she said, I found it so difficult to handle that. And he struggled to tell her this because he thought she would then reject him. But actually, honesty is the gateway to a quality relationship. I heard somebody say that, look, I don't mind if you've got problems. It's just if I know about them, I'll help you through it. David, King David, in Psalm 51, he says, "You, Lord," and this is after he'd sinned with, committed adultery and all sort of murder, and when God caught up with him and he felt guilty like I did, nicking those logs, he said, "You desire truth in the inmost parts." See, the thing with God is there's no point trying to conceal anything anyway, is it? Because he sees everything we do. He knows everything we do. Is that not true? He sees everything. He's omniscient. He knows. And he even knows the motives behind the things we do. You know, we do things and we try and cover them up sometimes and make somebody think good of us. God sees the motive behind every action. So, if God sees everything, no point trying to keep anything from him. But rather pour out your heart to him this morning. Pour out your cares, your worries. That's why Peter says, cast all your care on him because he cares for you. You know, the other great thought here is that even though God knows the worst about me and you and the best, he still wants a relationship. He does not cast you off. He does not say you have gone too far. He says, come to me, all you who are burdened and weary, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm humble and meek of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So, Lord, I just thank you. I'm going to pray. I mean, not quite finished. I'm nearly finished. And I'm doing all right time-wise. I'm just about to finish. Lord, I just pray for anyone here who feels alienated from you because of sins they've done. And I pray, God, I thank you that you forgive us and that if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Purifies from all unrighteousness. So Lord, may there be no guilt, may there be no burden of condemnation over anybody in here, because you carry our sins, you carry our burdens, you forgive us. Amen. One last thing. Oh, good point. Freedom to be. Number 5, freedom to be. Is that on the screen? Great. Okay. So freedom to be. Free to be yourself, vital in a relationship. The Cray twins. Have you seen that film about the Cray twins? Ronnie Cray, his wife, he was a complete control freak. Told her what to wear, told her where to go. What a life. I think she ended up committing suicide. Then another occasion, there was the wife of a pastor in a church, and the pastor responded to an appeal for something he was going through in his life, and his wife pulled him down. Don't show me up like that. The thing is, we've got to be free to be ourselves. A successful relationship is freeing, not restricting. Otherwise, you might say, well, I'm better off single. It's like this with God. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Have you found freedom through following Christ? Last one is trust. You can only really trust someone if you are convinced someone really loves you and is devoted to you and given to you. Someone accepts me for who I am, then in that situation I can be myself. The greatest compliment I think can probably give to someone is if you can be yourself with them. Can you be yourself? And I know, for instance, I mean, Liz is open, totally open and honest with me, and it's always my aim to be that with her, and I think I am. I am. And because of that, I can give myself to her fully, because I trust her implicitly. And she can do that to me. And God is looking for this in you and me. See, the action he most looks for in us is faith, which is trust. And that is a total giving of yourself to that person. So as we just close, I wonder if the worship team could just come up and... we'll sing a song, and I'm just going to pray for... these things. So the best thing that you and I can do is just wholeheartedly give ourselves to someone we trust. So the question is, are you living like that today? Are you just trusting God? Can you trust him? You respect him? You're in awe of him? And you can just give yourself to him. Are you living a holy life? Are you honest and open in how you live? Have you found freedom in Christ? And are you trusting the Lord with everything in your life? Father, I just pray for each person here, God, that we can be people of affection, of respect, shared values, be holy, can be honest. We're free to be ourselves. And Lord, we trust you. So, oh God, I pray now that just as we sing, that Lord, you will just minister by your Holy Spirit in our lives. And bring, enhance our relationship with you, Lord. Lord, if there's anybody here who doesn't know what it means to be fond of you, to be in that real deep personal relationship with you, I just pray, Lord, right now that you will open their hearts and make a way into your presence. Lord, bless them, God. Bring them to you.